Joining us today, we have Leo Kelly. He's CEO of Verdant Capital Advisors in Maryland, talking about his views on Bitcoin and the tax plans in Washington.
Oh, it's great to be here, Peggy. Thank you for having me on.
So, Leo, we talked earlier in the show about Bitcoin and how people are fascinated by whether it's a currency, whether it's not, its incredible rise, and that there's opinions on either side by some of the biggest people in the industry. Is it legitimate? Is it not? Are you getting calls from clients asking you, hey, how do I get into Bitcoin and should I?
Well, we are getting calls. I would say that the calls are more curiosity still than it is I want to get on board. And I do think the meteoric rise of Bitcoin has clients a bit frightened. I also think that there's an awful lot of ambiguity around what Bitcoin is. Is it an investment? Is it a currency? Is it a technology? And so the calls today are more curiosity than they are to take action. I think those taking action are more of a speculative mindset.
Leo, you said clients are in some part scared. Why?
Well, I think clients recognize that the movement in the price of Bitcoin is unnatural. And when we look back at the last couple bubbles and we look at the massive increase in capital in the system, we're seeing more bubbles. And I think they're becoming more easily recognizable to investors. That doesn't stop them from happening, and that doesn't stop overwhelming greed from pouring into an opportunity. But I do think investors are still a bit wary of a potential collapse of an asset price.
And when you look at the wild volatility and the wild valuations that we've seen, you have to have a heck of a lot of money to play, don't you?
Well, one would think you would have to have a heck of a lot of money to play, but that's not really what happens in bubbles. I think when you talk about Bitcoin, the first question you should be asking is, what is it? We look at Bitcoin and say there's a technology behind Bitcoin which we think is extraordinarily valuable, and that's the blockchain technology which it's founded on. And we think, like the Internet, there are so many parallels here to Bitcoin and the Internet stocks, that you have a technology that's going to be transformative in the marketplace. Business and finance will be changed as a result of that technology, just as the Internet was transformative to business 20 years ago. However, does that mean the currency Bitcoin will be successful? Just as the same question would be, would Netscape be successful and or Amazon? I think that's yet to be seen. But I think an investor has to take a step back and say, what am I investing in when I buy a Bitcoin? And what we know is that bubbles have three stages. The beginning is an investment that investors are skeptical of, and it starts to go higher based on a small number of believers. Then general acceptance in stage two starts to kick in, and investors come to the investment because there's a beginning level of acceptance. And the third stage, which is the critical stage, is the greed. And that's when people stop buying the asset and start buying the return of the asset. It's a subtle distinction, but it's an important one. I don't think today anyone is buying Bitcoin as a currency and saying, I want to store my asset value in a Bitcoin, because I believe as a currency, and we have to remember that's what it's supposed to be, this is the safest storage and the easiest transferable storage I can find in a currency. I think what they're doing is they're saying it was 1,000 and now it's 14,000. I want some of that.
Yeah, I gotta ask you to clarify that, because I was thinking at first that maybe we were at stage two, but you're saying we're at stage three.
It sure looks like stage three. In fact, if you were to go back and look at the rise in price of the Internet bubble, gold stocks in the 80s, Japanese stocks in the late 80s, oil in 2008, these were all really fantastic bubbles, which eventually burst. The move and the return in Bitcoin dwarfs those moves. It's significantly higher. And I think we have to look at not just return, but who's buying in and what is the motivation. In fact, Bloomberg had an article I read about a week or so ago, and the author was clever. He wrote about a pole dancing instructor who said to him that that person was now part-time advising people on Bitcoin. And so when we reach the general masses and everyone, the barber or the mailman, they're all Bitcoin economists, then I think we're getting to that fevered stage.
You don't want to touch it with a pole.
Well, here's a
or do point. A dance with it.
That's a good one. Here's the problem, though, when you reach the fevered stage. And here's when clients, back to your question, Peggy, when clients call me and say, what do you think? The problem is once you leave valuation, which we have, once you leave any type of explanation relative to what the asset actually is, it's impossible for me to give any kind of credible estimate on price because we've left that. And so if I have a client who calls and says, Leo, it was just 8 and then 12 and now it's 15, can it go to 20? The answer is yes. Can it go to 30? The answer is yes, it can go anywhere because now it's just a matter of people are pulling capital away from good, legitimate assets, and they're pouring into this because they're in the greater fool theory. I'm just going to keep buying. Somebody will pay more. That's the sole motivation of everybody buying today. Everyone's buying because someone's going to pay more tomorrow. And the other comment I read in the article is every time it dips, it always comes back. That's a bubble mentality. And so the problem with bubbles is they can go anywhere. The other problem with bubbles is look at history. Look at tulip bulbs. Look at the Nifty 50. Look at internet stocks. They go up farther than anyone can possibly expect, and they go down farther and crash faster than anyone could possibly explain. That's the issue with bubbles.
Leo, I feel like the two big question marks going into the end of the year are Bitcoin one, but the other one floating out there for investors is really this tax bill on Capitol Hill and what it will end up having in it and how it will affect them. I mean, there's still a big question mark there. How are you talking to clients about whether or not they should do anything before the end of the year and to protect their investments or their wealth in relation to the tax bill?
Well, I think as we drive closer to the end of the year, it sure looks like the probability of a tax relief of some sort is growing, and so and we're just now I think starting to see that in some of the equities, and it's not based on up or down as much as it is rotation from one to another, from one sector to another. Those who would be more benefited by the tax break are starting to move. You know, our view of this is the economy is in pretty good shape, and one of the main characteristics we always look for in the economy and the market is really a simple equation: is the return on capital higher than the cost of that capital? And so to get the cost of the capital, what are the inputs? Well, the inputs are commodity prices, interest rates, and taxes, as well as certain other inflationary products. Interest rates are a big part of that, too, obviously. Interest rates are a big part of that. So you take a step back and say, okay, let's look at today's environment. Interest rates are still low. The Fed is starting to move higher, but is being very, very cautious. And, of course, now we have a new Fed nominee who's probably not going to accelerate that too fast. Commodity prices remain low. And now we're going to get a tax break, which again, puts more money in the pockets of business. So I think that's all positive. Is it priced in? Prices are, I think, fully valued. We don't think they've reached overvaluation. There are pockets in the market that look awful high to us. But just like 2000, we talked about that internet bubble, just like in 2000, there are full sectors in the market that valuations look much, much higher than their earnings or growth would normally afford them. However, like in 2000, there's another large group of securities that actually look pretty reasonably priced. So I think going into the end of the year, I think the tax break looks promising. If that were to go through, putting more capital in the hands of business will only help the market and help the economy. And so we're somewhat positive on that.
Leo, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Peggy. It's always a pleasure to be on, and I really appreciate you asking me.
That was Leo Kelly, CEO of Verdance Capital Advisors in Maryland, talking about his views on Bitcoin and the tax plans in Washington.
That's this week's edition of Bloomberg Finance. Tune in again next week at the same time when we get together for our look into hedge funds and asset management. For Peggy Collins, I'm Bob Moon. This is Bloomberg.